Hello, do-it-yourselfer. Ever thought about gardening? If you can build that window box, you can build a raised bed in your backyard. Bonnie veggie and herb plants in raised beds make a fast weekend project with a big payback. Fresh, grow-em-yourself tomatoes and peppers, kale, basil and thyme, and so much more. Bonnie plants are healthy and strong and help jumpstart your garden. So get growing. Plans and how-tos at bonnieplants.com.
Hi, this is Joe Campanelli, the host of In the Drink. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back to Sharp and Hot. I am your host, Chef Emily Peterson, broadcasting to you live from Heritage Radio Network at Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick, Brooklyn. I usually tell you what episode we are on at the top of the show, and I seem to have lost track. I think it's 33. It's on the website. I'll figure it out. But we're coming up to almost a year of shows, which is very exciting. Someone pointed out to me, I think I started in the end of August. So, it's, you know, that's cool. On today's show, I have Chef Scott. I want to say it's Uline. I'm going to have to ask him to confirm how he says his name when he comes on. He's from Canyon Ranch, and he will be here to talk fitness and eating and the 10th anniversary of the Meatless Monday campaign. And I'm very excited because, well, I'll tell you about my own personal fitness campaign when he comes on. But if you remember a couple of weeks ago, I had a little bit of a meltdown with my sometimes co-host that I was feeling very out of shape and I had just completely given up hope on ever being in shape again. That happily has changed. So we'll talk about that in the second half of the show. At the very end of the show, my friend Sybil, the executive director of the Shakespeare Forum, will be on to talk about their amazing campaign to bring Shakespeare into schools. And since, as you all know, that I love kids and I love making their lives more rich and full, she's going to come on and tell you about their program and the upcoming production of The Merchant of Venice. But first, it is a beautiful day in the neighborhood here in Bushwick, and I'm excited to welcome from the neighborhood, Dara Furlow, founder and owner of With Love from Brooklyn. Hello.
Hi, I'm so pleased to be here.
I'm really happy to have you here. So for folks who may not know, can you give us a background on what is With Love from Brooklyn?
Sure. With Love from Brooklyn brings together the best of Brooklyn artisan food and gifts. And we sell both online and in person at Grand Central Station.
Oh, wow. And there's, like, artisan and Brooklyn seem like those two things have just blown up since I left. I moved out of I lived in Brooklyn for 8 years. My husband lived here for 10. When we moved out, it seemed like our block where we used to live is where there's now an artisanal mayonnaise on Vanderbilt Avenue. And it was like, that was not there when we were there. So how has this happened? How has Brooklyn come to be synonymous with artisanal food products?
I think it's actually a couple of different forces at work. I feel like some of it started to happen. Of course, you have to give all the credit in the world to the Brooklyn Flea, right, and their spinoff Smorgasburg, because they really gave a viable marketplace for people who were interested in trying to make way out, wild, unbelievable, high quality, local, delicious, organic foods, and really bring them to the masses. I feel like things started to really take off in about 2008.
Yeah, that's the year I moved out.
Yep. It was because you left. No,
I know. I felt like, man, I stuck around for so long. I missed it.
Yeah. It was sort of with the economic downturn and I think the subsequent influx of a lot of young people coming into Brooklyn and the general sort of rise of Brooklyn as this center for design and art and commerce. And you know, people really kind of letting go of the safety net and doing bold entrepreneurial things that maybe in better times they wouldn't have thought to do.
Yeah, I like that it's sort of out of necessity, not necessarily necessity, but out of like, well, I got laid off or I can't find a job. I have a degree in graphic design that I never professionally used because I couldn't find a job. And it was out of necessity and out of like ambition. I was like, you know, I'm going to try something that's not even a little bit on the path that I thought I was going to have. And that's how I ended up doing this. So what are the products that people are making? And you curate them into groupings, right?
Yeah, so we do a combination of gift sets, which are sort of our curated item. And what we found, you know, after being in business for about 3 years, is there's certain flavor profiles that people just go crazy for.
Bacon and chocolate.
Yes, bacon is big. Sweet and salty, so all the salted caramel, exciting products. And then it was sort of a surprise to us how popular hot sauce is. And the nice thing about our website combined with Grand Central Station is we get to do a lot of like really like feet on the ground market research.
Right.
Talk to our customers, communicate with them, find out what people like.
So my husband a few years ago had the idea of making an artisanal hot sauce. And we figured out that if he took no pay out of the product and bought the bottle, and we were going to grow the peppers, but we'd have to buy the onions and buy a couple of other things. But it, that would be kind of the hook, because we live on a farm and this would be our thing. I did the math and figured out that without paying us for our time, it was going to be like $14 a bottle. And is that viable? Like how... Am I right? Was my math accurate?
You're 100% correct. And that's kind of like, it's the economy of scale. I think a lot of people value artisanal products despite the high price because it is this small batch production. And small batch production is just very costly. And then once you add in hiring employees, it pretty much becomes impossible.
And something that Brooklyn has a lot of, it seems, are shared commercial kitchen spaces, which where we are out in New Jersey is like a totally foreign concept. When I cater parties, I work out of a church because there's no there's no such thing as a shared environment to cook in. And I do you find that using the same space allows people to be like bounce ideas off of each other too from the provider side?
Yeah, I think you see a lot of collaborations between people. I would say one of the most notable is the very adorable and lovely Jolene, who does JoJo's Sriracha. So that's a small batch sriracha. It does retail for like $14 to $15 a jar. She paired up with Sabrina and Jessica from the Jam Stand, and they've done a peach sriracha jam.
That sounds delicious.
So those two items we sell separately and in combination, and people go nuts for it.
Yeah. So you get a peach jam and a sriracha, and then you get a sriracha peach jam in a gift?
You actually get the peach sriracha jam and a jar of sriracha.
Gotcha. Okay. I love that.
And they
idea.
Don't do the peach jam separately. So it's just the combo.
So how are people making money doing this? Or are these labors of love that they have other jobs or they are... you know, actor waiters, cater waiters, because they want to support this thing that they believe in hopes that it'll pick up? Or, and I don't even know what the right verbiage is there.
I think it's a really wide range. I mean, some people are just super smart business people who are very scrappy. I don't think anyone would really get into this business, kind of what you were talking about with your husband, if you ran the numbers first.
If it was me who wanted to do it, I wouldn't let him run the numbers. If it was the other way around, I'd be like, we're just going to do it and see what happens.
And I think that's sort of the like the gestalt, the excitement, that feeling that people have that they can make something like wonderful and magical. I think our most successful people are kind of like unicorns. Like they come up with something so unique and amazing that you're like, this just can't fail. But sometimes it also can't succeed. So that's sort of the challenge. I mean, I look at pistachio crack, which I think is one of the most brilliant, delicious, amazing products that there possibly could ever be.
What is it?
It's a brown sugar brittle with roasted pistachios, a dash of espresso, and it's topped with coarse sea salt.
And it's like a bar, or it's like brittle,
it's
broken
brittle,
apart?
Like peanut brittle, but way a million times better. And it's so delicious. There's nothing else like it. And Dave Miss is the guy who made it, and he just is like this flavor genius. You know, he worked for a chocolate company. He's been a private chef. He makes cookies. He does all this really cool stuff. And it kind of, I think, sort of culminated in this amazing product, pistachio crack. And it, you know, it retails, it's pricey. It's like $30 a pound, essentially. But I would say it's worth even more than that.
Right.
You know, it's of the products, I'd say it's probably my favorite. But we work with about 40 different small companies, and each one has something like special and magical and amazing. And I think for some people too, it's like, it is what you're talking about, like a lifestyle choice. people are willing to forego, particularly if you're in your 20s, you're living with roommates, you don't have kids. You know, people are really willing to forego a lot of the
luxuries.
Yeah, or even some of the basics.
Going out to eat.
Yeah, and it is. I think it is the fulfillment of a dream.
Yeah.
I think people have done really wonderful things with a lot of integrity.
Do you have a lot of turnover?
Do you mean in terms of the companies that we represent?
Yeah.
A few people, you know, have gone out of business or stopped production, which is always really devastating for us because, of course, we want to see people succeed. And I think on the other side, though, you have a lot of new companies springing up all the time.
And how do you curate who gets to come to you? I'm sure there are people who are listening who are like, I have a hot sauce. I have a hot sauce. How do you, what's the process of getting hooked up with you guys?
Well, part of it is just, you know, sampling and tasting. So we've kind of come up with a pipeline now, though. So what we do is we operate an occasional kiosk in Grand Central Station. So if we're looking to add a product, we would typically try it out there. We would have people come in and do sampling. We would kind of chat it up. We would do a blog post about it. We would do an email to our list about it and sort of see the reaction, see how it sells, see what people are saying, see what kind of buzz it creates.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we choose to carry it, that's kind of like our testing ground. Then we'll carry it on the website.
How long did it take you to come to that pipeline?
It's been a couple years.
Yeah.
You know, because what we found is I get very passionate about a lot of different products. And ultimately, it's like a business decision what
right.
we can carry. Shelf life is extremely important. Obviously, we want to have time to sell through our inventory. Turnaround time is also important. You know, at the holidays, which is when we make the bulk of our revenue, a lot of people can't deliver.
Yeah, that would be frustrating.
Right. So we place our initial order and they do fulfill that. But we order, you know, I don't want to order too far ahead. I want the product, of course, to be fresh. Sometimes we get items that are literally bottled that day.
Wow.
Like, still hot. We got a batch of sriracha that was hot in the bottle. So we try, even though it has a year-long shelf life, you know, we try to tell our customers, too, like, this is true small batch production. Like, they made this yesterday.
Right, yeah.
And people are so accustomed to going to a supermarket and kind of blowing the dust off the top of whatever it is they're buying.
I often tell people, in wine stores in particular, if I recommend a particular type of wine, and it's usually something a little bit obscure that this will be the case, but it's like, the first thing you have to look for is whether or not there's a film of dust on the bottle. If there is, don't buy it.
That makes a lot of sense.
Is everything in your line edible, or do you do soaps and lotions and stuff?
We started to add some soaps. There's a company called Meow Meow Tweet.
Cute.
Which does beautiful, beautiful work. They're in Bushwick, and they make vegan, you know, all natural essential oils, a great line of soaps, liquid soaps. I think they have lotions and candles. So we love their stuff. And when you talk about how we choose items, too, like packaging is incredibly important to us. It has to look beautiful on the site. Price point's important. So they kind of hit our sweet spot
mm-hmm.
because they use illustrations on their packaging, which are so charming
right.
and so adorable.
And you have the pigeon
right.
illustration logo,
yes.
which is adorable also.
Yes. So that is also Claudia Pearson, who's a local illustrator. She sells at the Flea. She actually has a kiosk at Grand Central right now. Her work is phenomenal. We're friends, and we're sort of quasi-partners. We have a couple of joint ventures going. And her stuff, of course, to me, it's like emblematic. Couldn't be more Brooklyn.
Right, yeah.
So
it's amazing how much I've been able to accomplish with you know, working with friends of mine who are incredibly talented and are willing to work for frozen lasagnas.
Oh, yeah.
Like, my logos are done by my friend. I'll give him a shout-out, Mike Marowit. I mean, the way that his visual language works, it just, when you see it, you're like, that's what I want. That works for me. And I paid him in a frozen lasagna and a bag of cookies.
Oh, that's great.
And I promise him, as soon as I make it rich, I'm going to pay him even more. But so how do people purchase from you if they are in New York City? They can go to Grand Central every day, every Saturday.
Well, it's actually kind of, we do like a pop-up shop.
Okay.
In the Gray Bar Passageway, and it's off and on.
Okay.
So we are there in June and July, so we're going to hit Father's Day. So if anyone needs Father's Day gifts and works in Midtown, you know, that's the nice thing about being at Grand Central. We get a tourist market, we get commuters like crazy, and we get a lot of people who are from Brooklyn.
Right.
Because if you work in Midtown, you don't have time to go to all the stores or go to the flea every weekend. So we really provide this very simple, in a very small space, we represent so many brands. And, you know, people are like, oh, I can't even get this in my local store. Like, they come to us as a destination.
That's awesome.
We're always online with lovefrombrooklyn.com.
I will share your website on sharpenhot.com.
Thank you very much.
I would have done it before the show, but you saw me frantically typing just to get everybody's, that's a mess today.
Yeah, but, so we've had a website since December 2011 when we launched, and we did the holiday fair in December 2012 for the first time, and that was like a runaway success. We're the first food booth that they've ever hosted. And, you know, we've had such incredible support from the team at Grand Central. There's a company called Jones Lang LaSalle that operates all of the retail at Grand Central.
Okay.
And they are so involved and so supportive. And they've helped us with everything from merchandising to, you know, cultivating an audience, price points. You know, Connie and Laura, who run the holiday fair, I've never seen people who are just, that's a labor of love for them. It's their job.
Yeah.
But they also are so passionate and so selective about who they choose. And they really, really love to see people succeed.
Congratulations on all of your success. I can't believe to tell you this. It's already been 16 minutes that we've been talking. You were worried we weren't going to get through 15. I was like, oh, this is going to go by so fast. Right. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
Come back to Heritage Radio anytime. I would love to hear about your summer stuff. And before the holidays, you should absolutely come back.
Oh, yeah. We'll definitely be happy to give you some Brooklyn holiday picks.
Excellent. And we will be back after this with Chef Scott from Canyon Ranch.
Thank you.
Yourselfer? Ever thought about gardening? If you can build that window box, you can build a raised bed in your backyard. Bonnie veggie and herb plants in raised beds make a fast weekend project with a big payback. Fresh, grow them yourself tomatoes and peppers, kale, basil and thyme, and so much more. Bonnie plants are healthy and strong and help jumpstart your garden. So get growing. Plans and how-tos at bonnieplants.com.
Okay, I was right. We are on episode 33. Welcome back. I am your host, Chef Emily Peterson. Joining me on the phone, we have from Canyon Ranch and fresh from his Beard House dinner celebrating 10 years of Meatless Mondays, Chef Scott. Hi, Chef Scott.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Will you say your last name for me? Because I know I've butchered it at least three times on air, for which I apologize.
Come on, you couldn't have. It's Uline. It's easy. It's an easy one.
Okay, I was right. I was like, it looks like it should be phonetic, but I was calling on my Germanic roots to help me out. Okay, I was saying it correctly, though, so I take back my apology.
Good for you. Good for you.
So congratulations, 10 years on Meatless Mondays at the Beard House.
Yeah, it was a great event last night. We were excited to be part of it. Five participating chefs and clearly, obviously, featuring meatless items. And I think the crowd liked it and we're surprised at how enjoyable meatless items can really be.
It's really true when you just put a little bit of energy into thinking beyond, like, a carrot alone sad on a plate, how dynamic a meatless meal can be, and you don't even miss the meat.
No, you really don't. I mean, we had such interesting items from the different chefs, everything from a kind of a fun peas and carrots, which was a carrot terrine with three different pea preparations, one a foam and one sautéed and one part of the terrine. Then we had a beautiful ravioli stuffed with an egg yolk and some ricotta cheese. Then we had some artisanal local polenta cooked with parsnips. And then we did the dessert course. I mean, I'm not a pastry chef, but we did a little dessert sampler. And ours was completely vegan, so it was even more interesting. We did a shortbread crust using coconut oil and a heritage wheat that's grown out in Arizona and then baked with blueberries and a little almond milk. And then our second was a little like a warm chocolate cherry shooter with a Marcona almond. And then the third item was a dried orange with a little bit of chocolate and some peppered strawberries. So yeah, there were a lot of really interesting preparations last night. And like I said, I think the crowd was surprised and pleasantly so.
That's awesome. My mouth is watering, which brings me to the question that I want to ask you, because I know one of your lines of passion is you have a cookbook called Nourish, and you're about being healthy, and we are getting on to the season where people start shedding layers of clothing and revealing what they've been hiding all winter, and I am specifically talking about myself here. So I'm curious about how one defines a calorie. This morning, let me say that I'm using an app called MyFitnessPal, and I have promised not to out anyone, but I know for a fact there are people in this very office and friends of mine. All of us have code names. I don't even know who all of my friends on this app are, but I know I'm friends with them in real life. But you put in everything that you eat, and then you track all your exercise, and it tells you how much weight you're going to lose or gain, if that's your goal, in a certain amount of time. So this morning, in an effort to make myself full for the majority of the morning through my yoga class, which I'm thoroughly enjoying, I made myself a smoothie. And I poured it into a pint glass. It was about 2/3 of the way full, and I used peanut butter, bananas, walnuts, some chia seeds, some bee pollen, and some almond milk. And when I calculated it, it was 700 calories.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. You got a lot of heavy calorie stuff in there, like peanut butter and bananas and everything you just kind of mentioned. Yeah, it's surprising how fast things add up. And, you know, the thinking used to be lower fat, lower fat, lower fat, lower fat. And fats kind of come in good and bad ways. But the reason people took fat out of food in the 80s and even into the 90s was because fat's calories, you know? I mean, there are really good fats for you. Peanut butter is actually a great fat for you because it's fat and it's protein, so it's good to do that. But you'd be surprised. There's a lot of calories in things like peanut butter. There's a lot of calories in fat. I mean, a tablespoon of olive oil is 90 calories and 15 grams of fat, all right? So it adds up really, really quickly. I mean, the good thing that you did is you have all healthy items in there, and you used whole fruits. You didn't use juices. So whole fruits, which have both sugar, naturally occurring sugar, as well as fiber, is better than just, you know, a soda, which is just sugar, right?
Right.
So, I mean, you did a lot of things right, but you're absolutely right. It adds up incredibly quickly. I mean, we'll make a smoothie, and we'll give people a choice. You want an 8-ounce smoothie? And even those things, you know, an 8-ounce is only a cup of smoothie. I mean, it's not a lot of smoothie, but even they can run into the several hundred calories. So if you do a big old smoothie, a 16 or 18 or 22-ounce smoothie, man, it's a lot of calories.
Yeah, it's a lot of calories. But on the other hand, I felt awesome. I was full all morning, and I didn't have the same feeling as if I'd eaten 700 calories worth of French fries, which my first thought was, well, man, I'll just have French fries.
Yeah. No. Don't do that, because your body's going to burn them like nothing. It's a simple carbohydrate. Potatoes are a simple carbohydrate. What you did, everything you did right, is you had a complex carbohydrate, more complex carbohydrate, and then you added protein with it. So you had a great balance. So you're right. A smoothie like that is a meal replacement. It is not a snack. And that's what people need to think about, you know. Think about it as, all right, 700 calories sounds shocking, right? But look at how quickly 700 calories really adds up. If you start with a 22-ounce soda or something along those lines, I mean, you got half of those calories right there. So you really did everything right, because it carried you through the morning. So does it really matter if you had a 400-calorie breakfast and then a 300-calorie snack followed by your 500 or 600 calorie lunch, or the fact that you took in 700 calories at once and it carried you all the way through to lunch. You did everything right. Really.
Yeah, see, I hadn't even thought about it that way, because you're absolutely right. If I'd had a 400 calorie breakfast, then I would have had a snack. So you're right. I don't feel quite as bad about it. And now I have to say, my listeners' jaws may be on the floor, because I'm kind of the poster child, and I'm use my platform to tell people to eat really healthy whole foods. And when I joke to say that I wish I had, I could just eat French fries for 700 calories, one of the pillars of what I truly believe in terms of keeping yourself healthy is eat whatever you want. And I'm totally stealing this from The Omnivore's Dilemma, but you have to make it yourself. So if I want French fries, the deal with myself is that I also have to make them. I can't just go to a drive-thru and get them, and then they're not even as satisfying. But I
Wait a minute. Let me ask you: if you own a franchise of a major fast food chain, does that count as making it yourself?
No, you have to physically hold the. If you go in your own kitchen and you physically hold the knife and you cut them and you stand, because my rationale is, well, by standing there and cutting them and standing there and frying them, I am burning calories, and then I have to do the dishes afterwards. And so if I owned the company and I just ordered them, I don't think that would count. Not in my
that's a
bizarre
gray area.
World.
I'm thinking that's a gray area.
So tell me about Canyon Ranch.
Well, we've been around in Tucson, Arizona since 1979, and we've been in Lenox, Massachusetts since 1989. We're in the Venetian Palazzo in Las Vegas, where we run a spa club, and that's been since 1999. Sorry, I don't know if I said that right. Lenox is 89 and Vegas is 99, and then we're in Miami Beach, which has been open since 2008, and we're aboard many cruise ships as well. We run spa operations. So we're really all about health and wellness. You come to a Canyon Ranch and you kind of get a life tune-up. People come for different reasons. A lot of people come to learn how to manage stress. Some come to learn how to lose weight. Some come just to relax and have pampering spa services and massages and facials, pedicures, manicures. I like to think that some people come for the fantastic healthy food. So it's really a very customizable, very, very personal vacation. So it's very unique.
That sounds so luxurious. I don't know if you heard the segment earlier. I had an entrepreneur on named Dara Furlow, and what we were talking about is when you make the sacrifices of becoming an entrepreneur, one of the first thing that I gave up was having a vacation.
Oh man, yeah, you can't do that. You really have to learn how to. You got to learn how to cut it off, and we try to teach you that. Come, enjoy yourself, relax. Try to put the cell phone down and step away for a little bit.
All part of becoming a healthier, happier person, which is my goal in life and my goal for everyone. Chef Scott, thank you.
And it can be done. You can do it.
I can totally do it. Everybody can do it. And I should say my code name on MyFitnessPal app, if you listeners are out there also using it, I'll tell you, is Bunny McFly. You can see literally everything I eat and drink, which I'm almost always proud of. Chef Scott, thank you so much for coming on. I would love to have you back anytime you want to come on and talk about healthy stuff. It's really something that I'm really, I like numbers. I like all of this stuff. So
And really, go meatless on Monday. That's what I say. Start there. It's a cool way to start.
Will do. More fruits and vegetables makes everyone happy. And we're coming into the right season for it.
You bet.
All right.
The farmer's market.
Have a great week.
Thanks. Take care.
Coming up next, I have my friend Sybil to talk about the Shakespeare Forum right after a quick break. Welcome back. I am Chef Emily Peterson. On the line with me now is Sybil, who is married to my undergraduate roommate, or neighbor, I should say. We weren't roommates. He was in the room next door. Hi, Sybil.
Hi, how are you? Nice to talk to you, Emily.
It's so great to meet you, finally. I was calling you my friend. We've never actually met, but I know that I would love you if we met in person.
We're automatically friends, I think, by virtue of Tyler.
Absolutely. So I saw on Facebook that you guys are in the middle of your capital campaign to get more Shakespeare into New York City schools, or more theater into New York City schools. So tell me about what you guys do.
Yeah, so the Shakespeare Forum is basically an organization committed to bringing theater to underserved communities. I'm a public school teacher where I teach special ed, so we're looking for ways that we can gather funds to go into more schools next year to provide residencies for schools where they may or may not have had access to the arts in the past, but that's been cut now. So last year we donated 3 residencies. They were semester-long residencies to different schools around New York City, and we want to up that number, as well as provide productions at a low cost to adults and students alike in the city that are high quality but are not so expensive, that they're prohibitive, and do workshops that are free for actors and non-actors, which we do every week. So we have kind of a couple of different missions, but the idea is to get arts back into the public schools where testing is taking over, and we really feel that there's a need to make sure we're keeping our students artistically minded.
I 100% believe in your cause and this project. I benefited so much from the arts education in my elementary school and my high school. I went on to undergraduate in art, and I'm not a working or practicing artist right now, but it just informed my life in a way that I loved everything more. I was better at math and science because of it. And every time I hear that the funding for arts is being cut, it just feels so short-sighted to me.
Yeah, I agree. And actually, I teach special ed and science, so I also, it's not just about getting kids to enjoy theater, it's about getting kids thinking critically and, in innovative ways about what they're seeing, developing analytical and interdisciplinary skills so that when they're not just improving their, grades, if they do have drama, but they're actually figuring out how to use those transferable skills in other subjects. Because, of course, it is important for them to develop all the other skills at the same time. It's a love of algebra is important, too. It doesn't have to be theater, but we want to make sure we do that in a way that is consistent and not just, drop into the school for a class and never come back,
Right, right. So how can people help you? What do you need?
So right now we have a capital campaign on Indiegogo. It's the Shakespeare Forum 2014, and they can donate money online, which is obviously what we need to hire more teachers, to get into more schools. We are always looking for spaces that we can use to either teach in or rehearse in. Having donated spaces is always a great thing. Or they can simply be a volunteer part of our community. We have a huge Tuesday night open forum that is donation-based. We have thousands of members. And every Tuesday night, we help each other out. So if people have time, they want to come help us in the school. We have, if there are any teachers that are interested in working with us, if there are any people that have, an extra set of Shakespeare books that they want to donate, that's another great way. But obviously raising the funds is important, and we only have another about 9 days left for this year's campaign. We're trying to raise $10,000 online. So
I'm going to put a link. I'm going to put a link on our website at sharpenhot.com, and I will be there giving my $25 donation. I fully, fully support what you guys do, and if I could give you $5,000, I would.
Well, thank you so much. And, we really appreciate that. And again, if anybody has... It's not about how much, it's about how many. We're still mainly crowdsourcing. And so really, we decided that if everybody on our Facebook page who liked us gave us $5, we would make this money in no time. It's just a question of do I have $5, $20? We're not looking for, if you have money to give, great. But if you don't, give $20. Say, save a beer and come and support the arts instead.
Exactly. Sybil, thank you so much. Give Tyler a hug for me.
I certainly will, Emily. I can't wait to see you. We'll have you over for dinner soon.
I can't wait. Thank you so
much.
All right.
You're welcome. Bye-bye now.
Next week, we have the two chefs who are defending their titles from Grill Hampton, an annual event sponsored by Dan's Papers out in the Hamptons, my hometown. And until then, everyone keep playing with fire and knives.
Sharp and hot with Chef Emily. Sharp.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Heritage_Radio.
You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.